cut so deep you'll need a team of surgeons. It's Waldman's Wardrobe on KX93.5.
Yes, there you go. How are you, Mike?
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I have to say, I want to give a special shout out to Lisa Farber.
Lisa Farber?
I was sitting next to her.
Laguna Beach vibe?
I was sitting next to her in Heisler Park watching you perform last Friday.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Ava, and she leans over and says, "Hey, is that Michael Waldman? I recognize his voice." So apparently she listens to Waldman's Wardrobe.
She leaned over who? Leaned over you?
Leaned over, no, she leaned over to Ava and said, "Hey, is that are you talking to Michael Waldman?"
Oh.
So now there's two people listening. I'm so excited.
Lisa always listens. Lisa, she sends me texts throughout the morning.
Lisa and Vic.
Yeah.
Good morning,
Vic. And also, you know who else is listening this morning?
Who else?
Shout out to Mango, who's listening.
Mango, that's things. A cat, isn't it?
No,
actually,
no.
Had a cat Mango, named Mango.
I think it's Fetzer, her last name. She's very nice. She listens all the time. And she said we were very funny when we talked about immunization this morning. We had a jab at immunization.
You're not going to go down that road again.
No, because I kind of ran out.
It was painful listening to
it
earlier.
Yeah, sorry. When you grew up punning around the, you know, around the dinner table, it's just comes to second nature. Can't help it. So thanks for coming in. Each Tuesday, Mike comes in and brings music, rare music, interesting music, yeah. And just music sometimes with a theme.
Yeah, and this week has something to do with Beatles memorabilia.
Oh.
So we're not going to play any Beatles songs, but we're going to talk a little bit about something involving Beatles memorabilia. And you have some new Beatles memorabilia, don't you?
We do. We don't really collect that sort of thing. But we've inherited. Thank you.
You've inherited.
We've inherited something. Yeah, Ava's uncle was a TV producer for BBC Scotland. And the Beatles were on a show that he produced in the somewhere around 64, 65, something like that. And so we have photographs of him with the Beatles on the set of this thing.
Yep.
And he got a photograph from them, you know, like a promo picture, 5x7 promo picture. And they signed it. They all signed their faces. So except for John Lennon, who signed the back of it for some reason, which is a shame. Because it'd be nice to have all their autographs on their faces to put in a frame.
Yeah.
We can frame it, but Lennon's autograph is on the back.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, and I imagine that reduces the value of it. You know, because people like to display these things.
Yeah.
But we've got all four Beatles autographs. Yeah, it's quite a thing, isn't it?
It's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know what it's worth, that sort of thing, but it's certainly a nice thing to have.
So the memorabilia today, it answers the question, if you're super rich and you like to have music around you all the time, and it's before iPods and iPhones, what do you do?
8-track.
No, this is... No,
pre-8-track.
What John Lennon did was he carried around his own jukebox. So when the Beatles went on tour, John Lennon bought a jukebox, and they would ship the jukebox...
Why not?
...from place to place to place to place, so that he always...
You know, you're shipping amps and a Hammond organ and whatever else you're taking with you. Why not? Just throw a jukebox in the back. It's cool.
Yeah, so this segment of Waldman's Wardrobe is about John Lennon's jukebox. This jukebox surfaced in an auction of Beatles memorabilia. It was sold for about $4,900 to a Bristol-based guy by the name of John Midwinter, and he spent money and time restoring this jukebox. And then just when he was about to die, he got he made this contract where they made a documentary about John Lennon's jukebox and the songs that were on it when it was sold to this guy.
And is this the video? The thing's been made? The film's been made?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so where can people see that? Do you know?
There's parts of it on YouTube, but I think it's a German documentary, and I haven't been able to find it. Other than just clips of it.
Right.
But there is a disc, a 2-CD disc called John Lennon's Jukebox that you can buy that has the songs, you know, you got to wonder, how did John Lennon just forget it in some stadium? Did somebody steal it out of his home? How did it wind up? How did John Lennon's jukebox? You never know, but here are some
probably gave it to a member of the crew or something like that.
Yeah,
he
gave it away
a lot.
To somebody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to take this home. You take it.
Yeah.
So what's really interesting about it is, you know, what were the songs that John Lennon really liked to listen to? And, you know, there's some old rock and roll like Buddy Holly and Chuck Berry. But what's surprising is that most of the 40 songs on there are soul, Motown, Atco, you know, the black musicians of the time. And if you listen to the early Beatles records or you listen to the bootlegs of them playing, they played a lot of those songs in their set.
Well, if you listen to the latest stuff, with John Lennon went through a phase, didn't he, where he recorded a lot of those. Stand By Me was a big hit.
Yep, exactly. You know? Yeah, when he made that rock and roll album just off. You know, he had to make that record because he got sued for, what was the song he got sued for, which is the song on Abbey Road, Here Come Old Flat Top, Come Together. He got sued because he used some lyrics out of a Chuck Berry song.
Is that right?
And the guy who owned the rights to it sued him and said, Lennon said, look, I'll make an album of all of your songs, all the songs that you own.
Right, and that will sell a lot, and that you'll get the publishing money for it.
That way, he didn't have to, he didn't have to put out any money.
Oh, because I still suspect it was a labor of love for him because he loved all that music, you know.
Absolutely. So we're going to play a couple songs that were on there, and the first one we're going to play is this one has a real Beatles history to it because there's only one video of the Beatles playing in the Cavern Club, and it's 1962. It's one of the last times that they played there before they got super famous,
yeah.
And they played this song called "Some Other Guy," and this song was written by a guy by the name of Richie Barrett, guy from Philadelphia. He discovered Little Anthony and the Imperials and Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. Yeah. So this guy was really involved in, but he recorded it first. And here's what we're going to listen to is this guy, Richie Barrett. He's singing "Some Other Guy" off of John Lennon's Jukebox.
All right. It begins with John Lennon introducing the song and talking a little bit about it. So that's cool too. Usually we clip that stuff off, but this is a good one. It's John Lennon talking about "Some Other Guy" by Richie Barrett and then the song itself. It's Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness every Tuesday morning on KX93.5. Check this out.
Another American record that nobody I know over here seems to have ever heard of it, and it's called "Some Other Guy" by Richie Barrett. There is a strange bootlegs of the Beatles singing it rather crappily from the cabin somewhere way back in 61. And this is a guy called Richie Barrett, who's also a songwriter. I think he's still around, but I don't know what he's doing. This is "Some Other Guy." You'll notice the intro is slightly like Instant Karma.
Awesome. That is really great.
And if so you guys deep, you'll need a team of surgeons.
The actual video.
It's Waldman's Wardrobe on
Beatles. Wait, Mike. I'm still playing the thing. You can't hear it because I've got headphones on. I'm playing the Waldman's Wardrobe of blah, blah, blah. All right. Sorry, what were you saying?
I was saying, if you guys haven't seen the actual video of the Beatles in 1962 playing this song on the stage of the Cavern, you got to watch it. It's grainy black and white. The sound isn't perfect, but it's just an amazing historical piece of video where you can see them play. And they're playing great. And it's the very first video of Ringo playing with the Beatles.
With the Beatles, right.
Because just the week before, they had fired Pete Best. And, you know, people were still angry about that. In fact, George Harrison wound up with a black eye shortly after this because a lot of Pete Best fans would hang around and try to beat up the Beatles.
Kidding me. Do you know who had that conversation with Pete Best? Do you know about the story about that?
Yeah, I think so. Why don't you tell it?
I don't know it.
Oh, I know the story.
Yeah. who fired him?
It was their roadie. It was.
Oh, are you kidding me? That's so weak. I can imagine.
They sent around the roadie and knocked on the door.
I can imagine John going, oh, I'm out of here. Getting in a cab and getting out of there, you know, I'm not doing this. And I can imagine Paul weaseling his way out of it somehow.
Yeah.
But, wow, they got a roadie to do it. That's so naughty. That's naughty.
They sent around
naughty.
And said, sorry, Pete, don't come back.
You can understand it, though. They were young men, you know?
Yeah. It's a little embarrassing, right? They're yeah, your buddy and you got to
get rid
of them.
Horrible,
you know, and it wasn't like they decided. Pretty much, it was pretty much a George Martin decision. They said you got to get rid of this guy, and he tried to get rid of Ringo too. They brought Ringo around, and they wouldn't let Ringo record on their very first single, "Love Me Do." They had a session drummer come in and play, and Ringo played tambourine or something like that.
Huh. Well, luckily he's a fine tambourine player, old Ringo. All right, so we're doing songs from. John Lennon's jukebox.
Yeah. A lot of soul songs. And I was very happy about that because I love playing soul music. I don't think that, you know, I don't know what happened to soul music. It's kind of disappeared. But it certainly
became sort of hip-hop, didn't it? But you know what? It's kind of coming back. If you listen to some hip-hop on the... you know when you drive out the canyon, KX95 becomes
a hip-hop station.
Right. Well, they play old-school stuff, but they also play some modern stuff, names of artists that I don't even know. And you can hear it coming back. There's more singing in hip-hop these days, which sort of translates. Anyway, so what have we got next?
We got Edwin Starr. This is a song by Edwin Starr. He was the, you know, really, really famous for this
for
one
war.
Big hit for War.
Yeah.
I mean, this song was so amazing. It 1986, it was still a number one hit, a cover of it.
Yeah.
And, but this was a song that he had done called Agent 00 Soul. It was, you know, he was trying to ride the success in the early 60s of the James Bond movies. Huh. So that's what this was about. And, you know, it was recorded for Motown and, you know, written by the same guys that wrote all the great Temptations and Four Top songs and same guy who wrote the War song. But this is Agent 00 Soul on John Lennon's Jukebox.
Yeah, on Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness every Tuesday morning here on KX93.5.
I dig rock and roll music. I can do the twine and the jerk. I wear strictly continental suits and a high-collar shirt. I've got a reputation of being gentle but bold. And that's why they call me Agent 00 Soul, baby. Agent 00 secret, but for me it will never be told. I'm just known as Agent 00 Soul, baby. Agent 00 Soul. They call me 00 Soul, baby. I'm Agent 00 Soul.
Wow. Agent 00 Soul on KX93.5. And here's some trivia for you. Edwin Starr there on Michael Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness that we do every Tuesday. Mike's here. Say hello, Mike. So
hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike. And say hello, Mike, into the mic. Edwin Starr, of course, American soul singer. That was from 1968. From an album. I forgot what the album's called now, but never mind. It doesn't matter, does it? Never mind. And so he moved to England. When did he move to England? In the 70s?
In the 70s, yeah.
Right, and he lived in a little village called Bramco near Nottingham, of all the places.
Where people, Robin Hood's from.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah. So most people, you know, they moved to England, they moved to Kensington, Chelsea or wherever, you know.
London.
But this guy moved to about, and he had a wife, Mary Ann Hatcher, and her son, and two grandchildren, and lived there for the rest of his life in relative peace near Nottingham. And he died in the bath in 2003, at the age of 61, sadly. But he's buried in a cemetery near Nottingham, and his headstone, what does it read? Agent 00 Soul.
That's him.
So that's the track that we just played, Agent 00 Soul, Edwin Starr. It's on John Lennon's jukebox. John Lennon had a jukebox that he carried around from gig to gig. Or not him personally, I don't think. It was in the van anyway.
The same guy that he had Fire Pete Best carried him around, carried around his jukebox. I guess like one more thing about War that I found. You know, this Edwin Starr, very famous for that song, yeah. War. Apparently, the Temptations performed it first on an album. They put it on an album first, and they started getting a lot of requests to put it out as a single because it was in the middle of the Vietnam War. There was a lot of anti-war protests.
Yeah.
But Motown decided not to release the Temptations single because they didn't want the pro-war faction to think badly of the Temptations.
Really?
Yeah. So they gave it to this guy,
sort of
Edwin Starr.
They thought of them as a more kind of a sat, yeah. You know, primetime act kind of thing.
Exactly. They didn't want him to get that political at that time. And so they gave it to Edwin Starr, who had a huge hit with it.
Wow. Isn't that great? Good story. All right, so what we got? What we got
next?
Well,
the last guy we're going to do, this is somebody that has to be played because this is somebody, you know, I like to listen to old music. I like to research old music. This is a guy I would have never, ever, have heard if I hadn't listened to the Beatles because they recorded three of his songs. And this guy's Larry Williams. He was a New Orleans rhythm and blues musician. And he wrote some of the early rock and roll songs like Boney Maroney, Short Fat Fanny. He wrote Slow Down, Dizzy Miss Lizzy, Bad Boy, which the Beatles...
No, he wrote some enormous songs, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the Beatles put out three of his songs, which is an amazing thing. The Rolling Stones put out a song by his called She Said Yeah. This guy was huge, and he's completely unknown. I swear to God, there isn't a single person you walk down the street and you say, who is Larry Williams? Nobody would know. If you said, who wrote Dizzy Miss Lizzy? They'd probably say something like Little Richard. But, you know, Larry Williams was this incredible musician. And so, as I said, the Beatles recorded three of his songs. We're going to hear a version of his Slow Down, which most people heard on a Beatles album.
Right. Well, I had never heard of this guy. There was a guy that went around imitating him.
Yeah, after he died.
After he died.
Yeah, do you believe that? Let's talk about that when we come back.
All right.
We'll
have another little conversation when we come back, but it's Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness here on KX93. This song is from 1958, so it's quite an early song for us. We generally play 60s, 70s, till today music on KX93.5, but this one off of John Lennon's jukebox, his actual jukebox. It's Larry Williams and Slow Down on KX93.5.
Slow down, baby, now you're moving way too better slow down.
So deep, you'll need a team of surgeons. It's Waldman's Wardrobe on KX93.5.
Yep, it's Waldman's Wardrobe. So, that's cool. Larry Williams there.
That's a rocking little record.
He did a record, apparently, with Johnny Watson called It's Beatle Time.
Wow.
And there was part one and part two. I'm just looking at, I mean, I've never knew anything about this guy, but he's fascinating.
He's completely unknown and completely important.
Yeah, really important. And this guy, Martin All-Britain, claimed to be Larry Williams alive and well after his death.
Yeah, so this guy actually killed himself. Larry Williams was actually killed himself in L.A.
Yeah.
And after he died, this guy decided to imitate him. And he went around saying that he was actually him. He went around saying that he wrote all these songs until he got sued by the family.
Well, until Etta James confronted him.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be confronted by Etta James.
No, absolutely.
Etta James looked like she'd kick your butt.
Too right. She knew the real Williams, and she was like, this is out of order. So now this guy is still around, performs as Big Larry Williams, because he got sued and got in trouble. So, yeah.
And you can find videos of him on YouTube.
To cease and desist. Oh, my God. Right, hey, Mike, listen, it's been really great. This is a good one. Theme today,
John Lennon's jukebox.
And very cool. So now we know a little bit more about sort of the kind of music that John Lennon grew up listening to, post-war Britain. You get a taste of it if you see the Beatles' Love, you know, the beginning of it where they talk about how the Beatles came out. A lot of bands that we know and love grew up, you know, in post-war Britain. They were listening to American music that was shipped over, hence the term Northern Soul. So really great. Thanks so much for doing that, Mike.
Cheers. See you next week.
Yeah, see you next week. Here's the Happy Mondays.